Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for February the 11th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our one of two, and our goal always, to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. And as you know also, ladies and gentlemen, that our goal is peaceful. Now, it's very interesting. There's mainstream press stories out there now being released saying, hey, talk radio really created the anger and the simmer and the boil and the hatred. We're going to reject that narrative as we have for decades, ladies and gentlemen. All right. I agree that there are some hateful people everywhere, but not on this broadcast. We believe in love, kindness, patience, right? We stand for solutions. We're peaceful. We've been peaceful. We've rejected violence at every turn. We've stood for peace and patience and prosperity. I don't even know how to describe the frustration that I have. I've been in radio for a long time, ladies and gentlemen, more than 25 years. And I'm telling you, back in 1996, Bill Clinton went off about hate radio, and radio took a massive hit back then. Conservative talk radio took a beating. Revenue was down. People struggled. This was right after I got into the business, a little bit after. And he said, hate talk radio caused all these problems that we were facing. And now they're doing it again, attacking talk radio as the problem. And if I could say one thing about it, my response to those people who claim we are haters, our goal is to promote God, family, and country, and to protect life, liberty, and property. We want to back the supreme law of the land and peacefully restore the republic. And we stand with the Prince of Peace. Our leader has a nickname of the Prince of Peace, even Jesus Christ, who I testify he died on the cross and he was resurrected. He lives, ladies and gentlemen. And because he lives, we can live too. We can live free of tyranny if we keep his commandments, if we repent and change. He promises us he will heal our land and protect us. That is the Prince of Peace that we follow. And I don't really want to hear that we're violent or that we're causing hatred or anger or dishonesty. It isn't true. So, folks, accept the truth as it is and understand that you've got a war in heaven between God and Satan that continues on the earth. And we are in the middle of that war, and you must decide, you know, whose side will you be on? What will you spend your time advocating for, huh? That's really where the rubber meets the road. And they can make up all kinds of lies. You know, there was speculation back in the day that Jesus Christ was going to create a violent overthrow. Didn't happen, wasn't true. Even when, you know what, Peter tried to go to war, chop off the ear of the soldier that was trying to attack Jesus Christ. Jesus said, hold on, Peter. Calmed Peter down, healed the ear. All right, he could have vanquished all of his enemies. He had the power. So, you know what? We follow the Prince of Peace, ladies and gentlemen. And I use that example to hammer the point home. Okay, when we use the words fight, when we use the words, you know what? We're not going to take it anymore. We're taking our country back. These kind of phrases, they're not meant to be violent in nature. They're figurative. What they mean is we need to stand boldly, nobly, independently, and peacefully for that which is right and moral and honorable. And you know what? Donald Trump for 4 years preached peace. Yeah, he preached the rule of law, law and order. He talked about, you know what? Let's get a Republican majority. Now, I don't agree with even getting a Republican majority because I don't think that's the answer. Nevertheless, I digress, except to say that, you know what? Everything he advocated for was peaceful. Now you can say, well, what about when he said beat up, you know, people that were causing trouble or disrupting his rallies? And look, folks, you have the right to peacefully assemble. You don't have the riot card in the Constitution. You don't have the protest card in the Constitution. You have the right, according to the First Amendment in the Bill of Rights, to peacefully assemble. You have a right to a redress of grievance, but that, there's no evidence of or push for violence of any kind, or the destruction of private property, or by using force of any kind. Those things are not true. Now, are there bad apples among the barrel that certainly caused the trouble? Absolutely. On every side, in every large group, they exist. But let's not be so naive and so ignorant and so divisionary that we allow that to become the narrative, that the bad apples make the barrel. There's a lot of good people doing good things for the sacred cause of liberty, and I commend all of those who stand for peace, who advocate for peace, who push for honor and stand for integrity. See, those things are not in opposition. The desire to demand accountability, the desire for a redress of grievance, the willingness to stand up, the advocacy for accountability in courts, even throwing criminals in jail. Okay, these aren't violent words. These aren't efforts to be violent. A lot of people speak of the word revolution. They don't mean a revolution of violent proportion. Many of them mean that we want to take America back, that we want to. But their words, sadly, get trapped in a betrayal. You know, in the modern day, the Bible teaches us that people will take advantage of one because of their words, etc. We need to step back from that, folks. We need to de-escalate, not escalate. We need to do all within our power to say, hold on now, calmer heads can prevail. We can agree to disagree. You know what? Maybe we don't have complete unity, but we can have civility. This is something that we really, really, really need to work towards in America, ladies and gentlemen. Just my two cents as we continue in my personal opinion, unconstitutional impeachment trial of Donald Trump. He's a citizen, not a sitting president. They don't have authority to impeach him. And what's fascinating to me about this railroad impeachment in the first place is they know they don't have the authority. That's why the Supreme Court justice, who's supposed to lead these trials, wouldn't do it. That's why Kamala Harris, who would be second to do so, wouldn't do it. That's why they had to go to Patrick Leahy to do it. But Patrick has all kinds of conflicts of interest like you would not believe. Okay? That's the problem with this whole narrative. That's the problem with this whole discussion. All right? Trump on trial, Patrick Leahy, juggles his responsibility as, quote, judge, juror, and witness. Wait a minute. Judge, juror, and witness? That's right. The Constitution, by the way, specifies that the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court should preside over the impeachment trial of a president. Well, what they try to say is, well, that doesn't matter because he's not the president. Oh, exactly the point. So they want to say he's not the president when they decide who's going to try Donald Trump. They want to say he's not the president so we can use whoever we want. You know, a Supreme Court justice is supposed to try the president, but he's not the president. Then they want to say, but yet we have the authority to try the president. You can't have it both ways, you dishonest, immoral, power-hungry bureaucrats. You don't have that authority. Okay, so they try to manipulate it both ways. Bottom line is they know that they don't have authority, and they know that it's wrong. But they're going to move forward anyway because they're power-hungry and greedy. And it's sad to say, but we need to return to the civility that America should be known for as we follow the Prince of Peace. And if we're truly the followers of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, some say Yahweh, right? Some say the Messiah. Either way, the Prince of Peace, the Great Counselor, has encouraged all of us to keep his commandments, to be our brother's keepers, to do things that will create kindness and love and patience with one another. We've got to work on that in America, ladies and gentlemen. And that's my plea, that we do work on those things. By the way, we had our guests, two guests on, Steve Stockman, former Texas congressman. DefendAPatriot.com is his website. He's out of prison, but he's still a prisoner in his own home. His sentence was commuted, but he did not get a complete pardon, so he could be tossed back in jail by Joe Biden. We also had Larry Pratt, formerly with Gun Owners of America, talking about all things liberty. Those two guests were with me both hours yesterday. Steve updates us all on his release and how he's doing at home. The Department of Justice targeted other conservatives way before Trump and Stockman. America's political prisoners deserve full pardon, not commutations. Town hall even writes, Trump, please pardon former Senator John Woods. Will you be silenced next? Was the big question on our minds as we discussed it in detail. We also talked about the free press. Called Mr. Edwards, that's my buddy James Edwards, a leader of the Ku Klux Klan. He has never even been a member, and he sued for libel. James Edwards sued and said, you can't say that, I'm not. I've never even been a member. And they said, hey, based on Aesop's Fables and the company you keep, yes, we can, and they did. A case-setting precedent that, in my opinion, is absolutely going to remake our country in a very, very negative way. Right? Wow. We needed more support, Capitol Police Officer Carolyn Edwards said in USA Today. She pulled out a container of chemical spray to try to stop the bad guys, and her supervisor said, put it away. She's the only one that'll talk. Nobody else will speak up at all. You wonder what the real truth is on that, huh? Maybe that ought to come out in the trials. Not.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we follow the Prince of Peace on this broadcast and encourage everyone nationwide to do the same. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live. I'm in the recap, ladies and gentlemen. A good friend of mine emailed me, and at the bottom of the email, it said this, praying with you for our precious republic. Amen to that. Brian Russ, RussCoinandGift.com with me, praying with you for our precious republic. Brian, what do you think of that comment? Is that PC?
I like it. I think so. That's great.
All right. Well, that's going on. Mexican drug cartels are using TikTok to entice young people. Carol Schwartz with the article to join cartels and peddle drugs and everything else. So that's going on TikTok. Facebook was the biggest organizing venue for the events that occurred on January the 6th. And I'm kind of wondering why Facebook and then Instagram, why they're not really under the gun for some of those things. Federal government, believe it or not, didn't spend any money, didn't protect the Capitol, even though they knew ahead of time that this might go down in violence. Turns out that Mark Meadows drops the bomb on impeachment that changes everything. He says the president offered National Guard troops several times, even not only in the summer, but even in January, multiple times, and the leadership rejected the support from President Trump, didn't tell their frontline rank-and-file police officers about it. Now the cops are mad because the leadership in the Capitol betrayed them, and President Trump is angry because they didn't accept his help, and now they're blaming it on him for creating an insurrectionist violent riot. But now what's interesting is after the fact, Brian, federal government spent $480 million deploying National Guard troops after the Capitol riot. They say that it was the largest deployment of troops since the Civil War. Brian, that happens after, what, the horses left the barn, buddy?
That's right. I mean, what?
And then they're going to blame it. Hold on. Then they're going to blame this on Donald Trump?
Right. Yeah. It's unbelievable. I mean, it's unbelievable. And here's the thing. How come we can't, you know, get fair press based on this, that let and allow people to know? Where's the stories about that? You know, that we, this is what's happening, and yet they twist it and they turn it to, you know, cover their agenda, the agenda that they want to happen. And yet the truth doesn't get out. I mean, people just don't, you know, they, you know, it's terrible.
Yeah, you got that right. Very interesting information. And Americans are seeing more and more and more what's happening. They also, the Democrats who are leading the, quote, prosecutory side of this, in my opinion, kangaroo court trial that's constitutionally supposed to have a Supreme Court justice at the helm, it does not. It has a conflicted senator with all kinds of conflicts. They say Patrick Leahy, this guy that's supposedly the impeachment man, Trump on trial, Patrick Leahy juggles his responsibilities. Patrick Leahy is the senator that's kind of the head of this thing. He juggles his responsibilities between judge, juror, and witness.
Yeah.
And you kind of go, are you kidding me right now? Did we elect this guy to be a judge of the president? I don't think so. So, see, we got all kinds of problems with that, Brian. But meanwhile, South Dakota's working on something else. A South Dakota Republican introduced a bill to reject Biden's executive orders and simply call them null and void, sir.
Good.
Yeah, I think we need more states to stand up like that, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, well, that's the problem, the backbone. I mean, you know, we thought we were going in the, you know, getting a fair direction, you know, support, and they just fold. You know, it seems like that, you know, that's these parties that, you know, you feel like, okay, well, Republicans are going to step up now and support, and they just fold because it's this big old boys club, I guess you call it, there just, you know, okay, if you're going to go this line, we're going to destroy you and take you out of any kind of position or hold any kind of, you know, office here, really, to that you might have some input. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's cold.
Well, in my opinion, Joe Biden should be arrested for a lot of reasons. But Jackson County, Texas sheriff, guy's name is A.J. Lauterbach, says the Biden administration is enforcing its, quote, no deportation policy and creating lawlessness at the southern border. Every peace officer in the United States should be extremely concerned about the attitude, the lawlessness, the complete abject removal of law, Lauterbach told Tucker Carlson. What he's done is effectively and functionally dismantled ICE, basically telling the agents to stand down.
Yeah.
Now, that's what a Maryland sheriff, Chuck Jenkins, told Steve Ducey. He said there will be no enforcement. This borders on criminal stuff.
Yeah.
Because our national security is at stake with that one, Brian.
Right. How many people are going to be affected by that are, you know, that perhaps will lose their lives or that as a result of just stand down and let these people come through or whatever. And then others, you know, God-giving individuals who are trying to live the right way and do the right things will be destroyed or killed or whatever as a result of others who could care less.
So I find that interesting comparison, and I want to pick your brain on this, Brian. On one hand, we're going to dismantle everything and let everybody just kind of roll through the border as they choose. Never mind national security, just set that all aside. If you say anything about it, you're a racist, right?
Right.
Now, the comparison parallel that I see right now is the Capitol building. The narrative is that a bunch of ne'er-do-wells led by Donald, the chief insurrectionist, went into the Capitol. Never mind that he said go to the Capitol peacefully, patriotically. They took that out of the playback of the video yesterday. They doctored the video, manipulated the video, and played it back. And not really with the peaceful statements from President Trump in it, so people wouldn't get the fair reality check. And the Democrats are being soundly criticized for this. But I bring this up because it's interesting to me. One of the police officers there that was getting beat up and everything else said, I pulled out my pepper spray to try to stop some people, and my supervisor said, no, stand down, put it away. Yeah. Well, the Capitol Police not commenting. So now what we've got is on the border, we're saying dismantle all the protections, and at the Capitol, dismantle all the protections, and blame it all on Donald Trump and or his supporters.
Right.
Do you want to respond to that parallel? Well, I find that striking.
Well, I do too, but it's this whole agenda that's going forward. I mean, if President Trump was saying, okay, well, let's get these troops in place, let's do this, let's do this. They don't talk about any of that kind of stuff.
It was an order, by the way, that they ignored, just so you know, from the president.
Yeah. Well, and then they twist and turn this. They tell their officers to stand down. We're not getting, and that's the problem we're having here, is we're not getting the truth. We're not getting the truth. It's after fact or a piece here or a piece there that we have to either, fight for just some of these pieces to hold on to, but they twist it and turn it to make it look like, well, this didn't happen. This didn't, well, it kind of did happen. We kind of find out, but so they really confuse us as people trying to figure out what's going on here. We get no real truth. It's just we're thrown here and there and tossed to and fro and confusion. And that's
it's in dribbles and pieces that we find out so that we can't be too frustrated or that we can't demand change. And then they say, right. Angry people this, and the people are angry. Well, yeah, we are angry, but that doesn't mean we're going to catapult the violence.
Right.
You know what? We are frustrated, but that doesn't mean we've lost our minds.
Right.
And that's what they want you to believe. The second you decide to get a little bit frustrated, it's like, hey, you've lost your mind. We better have a mental evaluation on you. You're going to go postal on us. And okay, wait, you guys are quantum leaping here. It isn't, none of that is true. Yes, we do want change. Yes, we do want accountability. Yes, we do want to stop the criminals, but we want to use the checks and balances that our founding fathers really gave their lives and honors and sacred fortunes for and everything else, sacred honors and fortune, because you know what? That's the answer. That doesn't mean we're ready to come unhinged.
Right.
But they say that because then it makes you want to back off and go, oh, you're right, I better be super gentle. They want you to be so gentle that you lose your fangs. Can I use that comparison or not? Because, see, fangs are bad, right?
Right, and here's a point too. Where's these people that we elected into office that support us, to help us? We need their and they just turn a blind eye and turn their back on us. Where are those people?
Amen to that. While that's going on, just so you know, some hackers tried to poison the water supply in Ulmer, Florida's water, and I guess it turns out that they stopped them. That's good news, but I think it's more of a shot across the bow saying, hey, nothing is safe. Your border's not safe. Your capital's not safe. Your water's not safe. Brian, you're not safe, buddy. You better turn over your security. You better give up some of your liberty and turn over that to somebody else. And that's where, in my opinion, the core deception lies.
Yeah.
If we give that up, sir, we will never get it back.
Well, that's right. You know, and then you have our patriots that have fought in this country to help us to have the freedoms that we enjoy and so on. And they're kind of uproar and so on. But, you know, we get confusion within our state, or, you know, within each other. And before we know it, now we've got a major war attempting at our country, right? From other countries that hate us anyway. And we're so, I don't know, that's what's that? Is that the next step? I don't know.
I pray that we can stand for liberty. I'll tell you that. Ladies and gentlemen, on the rhodium. I can't wait to get an update on the rhodium. All right, Brian Russ with us, RussQuantumGift.com. If you want a friend, if you want a man and his family that's been in the coin business for 50 years to help you navigate and take possession of your metals, or Brian Rust is your man. RussQuantumGift.com. When we come back, precious metals update and more. I call it an honest money update on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Lance Pride.
President Biden on Wednesday evening held his first call with Chinese President Xi Jinping since taking office, raising issues including human rights in Hong Kong and Xinjiang. The leaders also discussed pandemic, climate change, nuclear proliferation, and seeking areas of engagement when it serves their country's mutual interests. The Biden administration has continued to face pushback for its response to illegal immigration. On Tuesday, a federal judge, Drew Tipton, issued an additional restraining order on Joe Biden's 100-day freeze, which extends his previous ruling by an additional 14 days. The judge claimed the Lone Star State would face irreparable harm if the policy were to remain in place. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said Wednesday people who have been given full doses of the coronavirus vaccine no longer need to quarantine after exposure to someone with COVID-19. The criteria includes people exposed to COVID-19 that were fully vaccinated and exposed within 3 months following their last dose. USA Radio News.
Can you really believe the news? So much spin. Americans just don't trust big media. And if you're really tired of the old news, check out Newsmax TV, the fastest growing network in America. It's on all major cable systems. Each night, watch Newsmax TV and see big shows with Sean Spicer, Greg Kelly, Lindsey Keith, Stinchfield, and Rob Schmidt. They're exposing Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi's surprising agenda. So tune into Newsmax anytime. If your cable doesn't carry it, call them and tell them you can go to another service that does. Or you can download the Newsmax app on your smartphone. It's free, and you can watch it anywhere in the world. Newsmax is also free on TVs like Samsung, LG, and Vizio. And millions of people watch Newsmax on Roku, YouTube, Pluto, Zumo, Apple TV, and more. There's a reason 30 million Americans watch Newsmax TV all the time. Check it out today. Newsmax is real news for real people.
The owners of Town Talk Diner and Gastropub, a popular South Minneapolis, Minnesota restaurant, is suing the city and Mayor Jacob Frey over what they characterize as insufficient response to the unrest rioting following the May 29th death of George Floyd. Casey White and Charles Stotts filed their lawsuit in district court Monday. The legal action alleges that Frey and other leaders did not act decisively to protect city business owners and residents from vandals that looted, damaged, and destroyed property and livelihoods. The suit is seeking $4.5 million. The president of the Tokyo Olympics Organizing Committee is reportedly set to resign amid outcry of comments he made earlier this month that women talk too much at board meetings. Yoshiro Mori, who previously served as Japan's prime minister from 2000 to 2001, is expected to step down on Friday when the Olympic Organizing Committee's executive board meets. He is expected to be replaced by former Japan Football Association president Saburo Kawaguchi. USA Radio News.
Brian Rust with me, ladies and gentlemen, rustquentingift.com. I'm telling you right now, Valentine's Day, get yourself some precious metal. Your spouse, your loved one will thank you later. I'll tell you that right now. More valuable than jewelry, ladies and gentlemen. Honest Money Report, Brian.
Well, you've got gold sitting at $1,843.90.
$43.90?
Yep.
Okay.
1,843.90, and then 27.2 on silver.
Not 20 on silver. So it's slightly changed, but not much.
Right. And yet realistically, your metals, your physical metals are, we can't keep them in, and they're flying off the shelf in unbelievable amounts. So, you know, there's the manipulation you look in the market. In fact, we have the highest trading volume in history by far on the COMEX, and the shorts. I mean, they put these four big groups short of the market, 33.4 million ounces. And at the end of the trading day, so at the end of January into the 1st of February, we saw a net $1 gain. So you've got the highest trading volume in history, and we ended up with a dollar gain, which is an absolutely crock.
Well, that's because they can play games with the metals, and they don't have right. enough people that are the small average Joe able to make enough plays in the market to call a halt to the con game, like GameSpot and a few other things. They called a halt to that con
right.
game. They could do the same thing with gold and silver if people were to seriously purchase these shares when they sell short, just grab it all up and say, all right, now deliver.
That's right.
It would call a halt to the con game in seconds.
That's right.
But if nobody calls for the delivery, they can play those games all day and win.
That's right. So that's why we instruct our clientele and that just to average cost, keep average cost, if you've got some extra income or a lot of money sitting in the bank, you better be protecting because at some point, we look for a devaluation of the dollar and other things to happen. And you better have some of that, which is peace of mind.
In my opinion, diversity in your portfolio is the name of the game, huh, Brian?
Yep, that's exactly right.
All right. Now, I want to bring up this story that I find fascinating. I want to get your take on it. You know, everybody believes Bitcoin is the savior. They almost believe that cryptocurrencies are better than gold and silver and all that kind of stuff. And I always warn people, don't dip your toe in the crypto. But listen to the latest. Guess who's against crypto now?
Let's hear it.
The global warming or climate change folks.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason they're against it is this. According to researchers at Cambridge University, in terms of, quote, annual energy consumption, Bitcoin now consumes more power than Argentina, the Netherlands, and the Arab Emirates at 121.36 TWH. Right?
There you go.
The Cambridge Bitcoin Electricity Consumption Index. Did you know we had one of those, Brian?
I didn't, but I...
Cambridge Bitcoin Electricity Consumption Index. It's a tool that's been developed to kind of monitor this alternative finance. They say this surge in electricity consumption aligns directly with the Bitcoin rise in price, which has increased from $13,748 on November 1st to over $46,000 now. And they basically say, you know what? Bitcoin energy needs are incredibly large. And now what's happening is Tesla bought a ton of Bitcoin. Okay?
That's right.
Now, listen to this. Tesla got a big government, they got a big old bailout or a gift or a subsidy or, you know, I don't know what you want to call it. All right? So what they're now saying is, hey, we gave Tesla a bunch of money. He spent that same amount of money on Bitcoin. Now what we're thinking we need to do is create a carbon tax on cryptocurrencies, Brian.
Yeah. There you go.
What do you think of that?
That's right. Well, I do know that, you know, when they call it the mining, as they mine this stuff, I mean, there's guys that have huge warehouses full of these processors or whatever that are running 24/7, and they pull a lot of energy, no doubt about it.
I find it fascinating, though. They call it the process for Bitcoin relies on a process of mining, where they use complex mathematical equations to deal with complicated mathematical hashes is what it does, and then it creates the coins. But the problem is Bitcoin's value hit a record of 48,000 a high this week.
Yeah. Wow.
There you go.
That's so they can pay the electricity bill, I guess, huh? It went up enough to where now they can afford to pay that bill.
Yeah, so Tesla got $1.5 billion environmental subsidies, and that's how much he spent on Bitcoin.
Yeah, how convenient, right? I mean, the rich keep getting richer. They just keep getting...
It works out well.
Yeah. It's
now, I'm not really the guy that says I want to tax the other guy, right? So it's hard for me to back a, quote, carbon tax necessarily. But I understand the point, right? All you got to do, Brian, is instead of put a tax on the thing, in my mind, all you got to do is you got to stop the subsidies.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's just amazing. And I look at this Bitcoin thing and I think, how come the environmentalists haven't been speaking out about this sooner? I mean, you're talking about more power than Argentina, the Netherlands, and the United Arab Emirates right now. I mean, when are they going to jump in and go, hey, we think this is a problem?
Right. Well, that's right.
And now all they're talking about is, hey, let's tax it and let government, what, get back the money that they, how do you say this? We're going to let government get back the money they gave in a subsidy to Elon Musk. And Musk is the guy that got a bunch of money subsidy. Now he put it all into Bitcoin, and now they want to tax Bitcoin. I mean, it just goes round and round, Brian.
Yeah. Yeah. So is Elon Musk going to have to pay tax? Is he gonna, or is this other people are going to pay it so they can subsidize him?
Well, everybody's going to be paying it who's involved in Bitcoin if they have their way. Now, I mean, they don't really have mojo enough to pass this kind of a tax right now, but that's the idea for solution is what I would call it.
Right.
They're mentioning at this point. And I look at this thing and I go, so they're going to crank up more and more environmental restrictions, more and more climate change legislation. They're going to back everything into it. Pretty soon they'll say, hey, those talk radio folks, man, use a lot of electricity now. You know, where do we go with this? What I mean is it just seems to never end. They create a crisis. They create a massive problem, Brian. And then it's like, oh, let's create more problems to solve the problem.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right.
All right. Twitter says Trump will never be back on Twitter, buddy. Yeah, he'll never be allowed back. When you're removed from Twitter, you're removed from Twitter, they say, buddy.
Yeah. We better start something else that allows people to voice and not be, seems like, one-sided.
The problem, Brian, is how do you do that?
Yeah, I know.
When it's so expensive, and even if you start something, if they don't like it, they'll just use choke points on the internet and shut you right on down like they did Gab and some of these other places.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, and you don't want those guys at the top, those Twitter owners and Facebook owners, and they don't want any of that competition. They just want to be able to do what they're, you know, make the laws.
Yeah, all right. So we heard gold and silver, but I never got the rhodium, buddy.
Rhodium's 21,000.
Whoa, that's up quite a bit, isn't it?
Yeah, it's up more. Yeah.
It's up more, so people understand, is because there's not so many paper manipulations of it, right?
Right. Yeah, palladium or platinum, it's up $200. So, yeah. So,
what's the relationship between gold and silver right now? How many times?
Oh, I didn't figure that, but it was sitting around the 70, 78.
Way out of whack. 80. Should be 15-20 kind of range.
Yeah. We broke 100, and now we're back down to around that 80 mark or so, 70, 78, 80 mark.
So a lot of people are wondering how come we haven't fell off the wagon on this thing. You know, you've got the coronavirus. You've got so much job loss. You should have inflation. You're starting to have shortages. How are they able to keep a cap on this so well in spite of it all? Brian, I know you got to leave after this, so 10 seconds or so. How do you think they keep a lid on this thing? I don't understand it, kind of.
Well, it's just the manipulation. I think eventually, at some point in time, it's going to explode. I mean, there's just no way they're going to be able to continue to do what they're doing.
Thanks, my friend. We'll have you back soon.
All right. Hey, thanks.
Brian Rust, RustQuinnandGift.com on your radio, ladies and gentlemen.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win. They lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm, by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
The founding Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, I alluded to this story, and I want to talk more about it. You know, back in 96, hate radio supposedly caused all the problems we face in America. That was according to Bill Clinton. Hate talk radio caused it all. I've been around for a long time in this, ladies and gentlemen. Right? And now they're back at it again. There's a big article that says this. Quote, before the riot, anger crackled on talk radio. And this is what I was referring to before we had Brian jump on. Shows hosted by Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, and other talk radio stars promoted, quote, debunked claims of a stolen election. Now, in my opinion, that's where the big lies start. We don't have debunked claims of a stolen election, ladies and gentlemen, because the courts and government never gave us an appropriate, proper redress of grievance. They never let the cases go to court and to be judged on the merits of the case. They always shut down the court cases by saying you don't have standing or, you know, whatever, to where we don't have to take this case. They never really judge these cases of vote fraud on the merits of the cases. We have all kinds of vote fraud reality. But they won't listen. And they say that it's not true to the point of ad nauseum. It is true, and we do have lots of evidence. And even when we bring up evidence, what they say is, well, that's not enough evidence. Yeah, there's vote fraud, but there's always been vote fraud, they say, but it's not enough to overturn the election. And my response is, how do you know you haven't even subpoenaed for the information that would prove or disprove that reality? So I submit to you that they lie. So the first headline lies. Before the riot, anger crackled on talk radio. Now, the reason that's a lie is because they make you believe in that statement that anger caused the riot. Okay? Preceding the riot, anger caused the riot. That's the lie. You bet we're frustrated. You bet we're disappointed. And you bet we're angry when they won't let us have a redress of grievance in America, when the checks and balances in America fail to the point where you can't have a true investigation with transparency, with investigative authority, when you can't get to the bottom of something and you feel like you've been wronged, there is anger. I don't deny that. So when you say anger crackled on talk radio, there's a little bit of truth to that. But in that false narrative by the headline, says, before the riot, anger crackled on talk radio. See, that's the wordsmithing of dishonesty that I'm bringing up. Okay? And then it says this, and urge listeners to fight back. 2 days before a mob of Trump supporters invaded the United States Capitol. See how they go there? Okay, that's where I think the lie begins. They're acting like we caused it. That's not true. They're acting like because we're frustrated that you know, led everyone to go to violence. Only a few people went to violence, and we don't even know who a lot of them are. Many of them are not Trump supporters at all. They're Antifa. They're Black Lives Matter. I admit there's trouble on the left and the right. There's bad apples everywhere. There are some Trump supporters, I'm sure, that were involved. But then it says these, before the riot upended the nation's peaceful transition of power. Okay, that's not true either. The peaceful transition of power happened on the 20th of January, and there was no violence at all. So again, they're mixing so many things together by their wordsmithing that it's just not true. They say leaving at least five people dead. Now, you know what? There's discussions about these five people that died that some of them didn't even die related to the riots. Some of them had underlying health problems that may have been part of their demise. One of the police officers, they're doing an investigation. They won't even say how the person died right now. Another one, a female got shot by the cops. Maybe the cops are a little too aggressive, huh? Now they say the, quote, right-wing radio star Glenn Beck delivered a message to his flock of 10.5 million viewers. So now what they're doing is trying to make his viewership 10 million radical extremists, right? His flock of lemmings, kind of an idea. This is the lie. They don't say that when it's their group. But here's what he said. Quote, it is time to fight. It is time to rip and claw and rake, Mr. Beck said on his January 4th radio broadcast. Yeah, but that doesn't mean violence. It is time to go to war, Glenn Beck said, as the left went to war 4 years ago. And this is the point. You could say we're calling for war, but what Glenn Beck is saying is, hey, you know what? They didn't accept the last election. The Democrats didn't accept the last election. All they would say is, oh, Donald Trump, you know, stole it. Donald Trump should have never been president. Donald Trump, da-da-da, got helped by Russia. Donald Trump, and they didn't accept it. Now, they say a former Fox News host, Glenn Beck, has speculated for weeks. That's not speculation for weeks. We have talked about some of the evidence, for sure, but we haven't speculated for weeks. What I've merely said is, hey, let's go to court. Let's get subpoena power. Let's find out who knew what, who knew when, who said what, who. Let's get the affidavits. Let's get the evidence of the software. And that's what Sidney Powell has been saying. But they say that Glenn Beck has speculated for weeks about baseless claims of voter fraud in the presidential race. See, again, they add this baseless claims. There's no baseless claim. He told listeners that Donald Trump had taught conservatives that you don't have to cower anymore. You don't have to back down when ridiculed into oblivion. That's fine, but that doesn't go to violence. You can fight back. Now listen carefully. Then they admit way down in the article, Glenn Beck did not lobby for his listeners to invade the Capitol. A day later, Glenn Beck did urge marchers in the Capitol to kind of channel their Martin Luther King, adding that violence is just not who we've ever been. But the language that he used before permeates the aggressive rhetoric, they say, that caused the problem. So this is what I'm saying to you, ladies and gentlemen. Violence is not who we've ever been. Channel your inner Martin Luther King. He never, meaning Glenn Beck in this case, never advocated to go to the Capitol and commit violence. Right? Now, they say weeks before the Washington siege, talk radio used all this kind of rhetoric, right? But the problem is the Democrats have used way harsher rhetoric than that. They say talk radio is perhaps the most influential and under-chronicled part of, quote, right-wing media, where the voices of Glenn Beck, Sean Hannity, Rush Limbaugh, and others waft through the homes and the workplaces and the communities of tens of millions of listeners before the riot. The shows were often unrestrained forums for claims of rigged voting machines. They're beyond claims, folks, of rigged voting machines. That's the problem. And even if they aren't rigged voting machines, I can make that claim if I want to, even if it's not true in America. There's no truth serum to my free speech, is there? They say in a liberal conspiracy to steal the presidency on behalf of Joseph R. Biden Jr. Mark Levin, who reaches, they say, an estimated 11 million listeners a week, said in a Christmas broadcast that stealing elections is becoming a norm for the Democratic Party, and he called on his listeners to crush them. Crush them. We need to kick their blanks. All right? Then they talk about Cunningham, a syndicated host, I guess, in Cincinnati, told listeners on January 4, I will never surrender and collapse. An act of it's okay when hundreds of thousands have voted illegally on January 5th. Right? Now they say as Trump supporters started to converge on Washington, Dan Bongino spoke out. The Democrats rigged the rules to make sure the election would go their way. That's what he believes. But can these hosts say what they want? Right? They say Limbaugh led the rise of right-wing talk in the 80s. He claimed without evidence that the election have been stolen. Leading anchors did not explicitly urge an attack on the Capitol. Anyway, they continue. But the bottom line is they're making talk radio out to be the boogeyman. So where do we go from here? This article's huge, and it basically documents that radio is the cause of all the problems. In fact, the radio hosts are just angry, hate-filled. They say that a New York Times transcript monitoring the Sean Hannity show, they say the election was referred to as fraudulent, rigged, and so on over 600 radio stations. And this causes some of the violence. At some point, people break. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I don't see any of the language that Glenn Beck or anybody else used that caused a violent Capitol surge. You can say, well, he used the word fight, so do the Democrats. He used the word war, so do the Democrats. Okay, this isn't something that is unique to conservatives. I've always avoided those warlike statements. Whenever someone said, hey, we need to go to war, we need to have revolution, we need to... I always temper it and say, we need to stand peacefully, no doubt. We need to be very careful about the narrative they're trying to spin us into. This war mentality, this battle mentality, this discussion of revolution mentality. I reject it all, and I have so for over 25 years, ladies and gentlemen. And you could say, well, your counterparts that are way bigger than you in the media, they're advocating for, you know what? I don't believe they are. They're not wise enough and careful enough, in my opinion. And so they get caught in their words oftentimes. But the point's still the same. We have never advocated for violence and an overthrow of anything. All right? In fact, many of us urged our listeners not to go to the Capitol. We warned of violence at the Capitol. We encouraged people to remain peaceful and calm. So did President Trump when he said, let's peacefully and patriotically go to the Capitol. Okay? The bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, is are we going to defend free speech in America, whether you agree or disagree with it, because we believe it's the right thing to freely have speech and associate? Or are we going to reject that on the altar if somebody might use their speech in a way that you don't like or agree with? Because they say there's debunked voter fraud allegations, and I say that's a lie. They are not debunked. We've never had the chance to properly obtain a redress of grievance. Hour one on the can. Andy Mangione coming up for hour two. We got a lot to talk about on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. LovingLiberty.net. Spread the word. Tell the tale. Donate liberally, would you please? LibertyRoundtable.com. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.